We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so let's jump into the offense, all right? And the way we're going to do this, so everybody knows, we're not going to say, like, okay, the offense for the gold team, offense for the blue team. We're going to talk about the offense in general, right? So it's Notre Dame's offense and how the guys who played offense did. And so obviously we'll do how we normally do it, and we're going to go around the horn and go kind of position by position and talk about the offense, all right? And then we'll do the same thing with the defense. But we want to make sure that, of course, you like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, all the fun things. Make sure you hit that like button. There's some funky things going on. And make sure we hit that like button and combat the bots out there. All yes. Right. So hit that like button. We really appreciate that. But let's talk about this offense, Brian, because we have to remember, at least I have to remember. I'll say it for me, for my own self, that this is a new offense. I mean, Mike Denbrock came in. This is the 15th practice with this offense, right? And so I wasn't expecting miracles in this game, to be honest with you, but they moved the ball both on the ground and through the air. I think we saw some bright spots from all three quarterbacks. I thought the running backs ran high. I mean, there were some bright spots offensively, and I thought that the command of the offense was better than I anticipated. I'll say that. But you want to start with the quarterbacks and
guys? Overall, I did have a couple thoughts I wanted to share just on the offense overall. And a couple things that you guys noticed today. We did see the wide fade stuff a lot today. We saw they ran snag a ton today, which you guys saw. Did. But we saw more of a focus on them trying to run the ball today than we did last Saturday.
Yeah.
You could tell last Saturday was about we're trying to work on the run game. We're trying to get our throwing game. We're trying to get the pass game going. Looking at it from the coaching standpoint, we're trying to get the pass game going. Let's focus on that and the pass pro and that type of stuff. Today was more balanced. We saw them focus a little bit more on the run game, and that was obviously a good thing. But I thought we saw the tempo mix it up a little bit. We saw the tempo kind of go back and forth a little bit, you know, where they were changing the tempo. At times they would speed it up. And I'm not talking like in the 2-minute drill. I'm just talking about at times there were times in the game, say, let's get moving a little bit, mix up the tempo, put a little stress on the defense. We saw a lot more personnel and formation diversity from Mike Denbrock today than he did at LSU last year, because the makeup of the offense is so much different. He didn't have tight ends at LSU like he has at Notre Dame. He had one tight end really all year last year. That was Mason Taylor. He was a good football player, and they used him a ton. But they didn't have that second tight end to, you know, Mason Taylor, I think, had almost 40 catches last year. But they didn't have that second tight end to be more of a 12 personnel team. And we saw a lot more of that today. We saw a lot of the motion and movements and things along those lines. So we got a little taste of what the Mike Denbrock offense is going to look like today. Not all of it. Trust me, there's a lot that we didn't see today, play calling wise, things that you and I have seen in practice, but just things that I know Mike Denbrock likes to run from breaking down film. But we saw a lot of the bread and butter, right? The slot fade concept, the double post concept. We saw some post-snap switch stuff that he did, which is where one of the big plays came from. We saw the under, the Y under off of, it was a read zone and you pull it, and it's either you throw the Y under or you run it. We saw both. We saw them throw the Y under and run it today. Saw
both of them, yeah, from both teams. So, both two quarterbacks ran that.
Yeah, saw a ton of inside zone today, which is Mike Denbrock's bread and butter, but saw also a little bit of counter. We saw, I'm going to have to go watch it, but it looked like a quarterback buck sweep on the touchdown from Kenny Minchie, or the run from Kenny Minchie. It looked like a buck sweep to me. I'm going to have to go back and watch it, but there were a lot of – there was a lot of – you guys all got a taste of – now, for those of you that are premium members on the message board, you could see a lot of stuff today. Like, yep, that's that slot fade that we were that they're talking about, right? Like, that's inside zone. You guys could see that kind of stuff. But, you know, today you'll see some snag stuff. And so when I do my snag breakdown on the message board, I'll have LSU film. But I'm also going to – you know, might even show a couple clips from today that where there was big plays from that. So – the one thing we did see today, though, Vince, is we got a chance to see, okay, I was glad that Mike Denbrock wasn't as vanilla as a lot of coaches tend to be.
Sure.
And I think that's smart to do. He may not be that way next year when there's a year under his belt, but I thought it was important to take advantage of this opportunity to go out there and compete while you're still, you know, your players are still in a position where they're still learning the offense. This is another opportunity to get better that you need more than you might need before. And so, like, defensively, we didn't see as much blitzing today as we normally do. Let's be honest about that. We saw some, especially on third and fourth down, but not as much in base situations. And so, but offensively, it was you got a taste of what Mike Denbrock's offense is going to look like today, which was
more than I thought. It's more than I thought we were going to see. I'll be honest with you. We saw a lot of the same pass concepts, but we saw them out of different alignments, and we saw them
get and to that's them partly in what Denbrock does. I mean,
for sure, 100%.
He's not going to run a million plays. It's like we're going to run this out of a lot of different looks and a lot of different ways. And yeah,
I like the fact that he was doing that though, because you got a lot of young guys, a lot of young receivers that were out there. And what I also like to see were all three quarterbacks at one point or another were directing traffic pre-snap. Hey man, you got to widen out. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to, you know, make sure that you're in the right spot. No, get over here. Like, I feel like the command of the offense from the quarterback position is at a good place coming out of spring. I'm not saying they're perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I like the control that it felt like that they had over the offense. And they were able to kind of, because that's what you want your quarterback. You want your quarterback to know what everybody's supposed to be doing on any given play. And you know, there was one point where, you know, this is an example where Kenny Minchie, they were going to throw kind of a swing pass to Justin Fisher. And that was the play. It wasn't check down. That was the play. And he was trying to get the wide receiver to get out more and split out more so that the defender is taken out more. And so that they've got that guy in space. And so that when he gets the ball outside, you're, you know, blocking in space as opposed to more of a condensed box. So he knew where that play was going to go. He knew what he wanted to see from those guys up front. So it was just I like the command that those guys had at this point in the spring. A lot more to learn, a lot more to do, obviously, but only 15 practices under their belts, 14 and a half or so at the time, right? They had control of what they were attempting to do offensively. And I think that's a great spot to be in at this point in the offseason.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks, Vince.
Okie dokie.
We could tease you all and do the quarterbacks at the end.
We could.
But I'm in a good mood, and I think you guys want to talk about it. Let's just say this first and foremost. I can warn you guys all I want about don't get on TV. You know, don't be Team Angeli or Team Minchie or Team right. Carr or Team Leonard. Like they all play for Notre Dame. And we'll have a lot to say about what we liked and didn't like from each quarterback. But what you saw today was all three of these kids can play. Now, I have my feelings on where I would rank the three of them.
Mm-hmm, me
too. I have my feelings on what the floor and the ceiling is, and Vince and I talked about that. And when we get into the offseason, we'll have a more further conversation about the big picture. But we're going to focus on today mm-hmm. and what we saw today, not the implications of today. That'll come.
Right.
You guys know we're going to have hundreds of shows between now and fall. We'll have plenty of time to get to that. We're going to focus on what we saw today.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you saw today are all three of these kids can make plays
right.
in different ways, legs and arm, some more so with their legs than others. But legs and arms, you saw. You also saw that they're all still three works in progress as well, Vince. They all had read mistakes that we didn't like. Some guys just, you know, like Steve Angeli just won't read past the first guy. You know, Kenny forced a couple balls. CJ had some late reads, you know, on a couple throws where he actually went to the third guy, but he was a little late with it. You know, CJ took a sack. He probably shouldn't have taken a sack. Freeman got on him that one time about getting out of the pocket. You know, Steve had some big missed opportunities. Kenny with the turnover, you just can't have that happen. So they're all works in progress. But what you guys saw today is these kids can flat out sling the football to some degree. They're all good football players. And it just speaks volumes to, as before we get into each kid, that this quarterback room is loaded. And guys, the best quarterback they have for 2024 didn't play today.
Correct.
And you and I got to see him slinging the ball around a little bit in pregame. But this quarterback room is absolutely loaded. Absolutely loaded. You should be able to win 10 games next year with any of these kids.
Agreed.
In my opinion. You just got to keep coaching them up and get them ready to go. But they all stated their case to say, hey, I deserve to still be in this conversation when we get to fall camp. I think all three of them made a case for that today. That's the only big picture thing that I'll say. I have my opinion on who is the best and all that.
Sure.
But all three of those kids stepped up. And there was a point in time, Vince, where, you know, you and I looked and said, Kenny was catching fire and CJ was catching fire and Steve was pressing. Like he was visibly pressing and making mistakes. But you know what he did right on the very next series? We said that he calmed down. He started the series off poorly, calmed down. His teammates rallied him, got a first down, but then he settled in and went and made some really good throws. You know, and that was good to see. And so you saw all three of these kids went out there, competed. Kenny Minch had a rough first half. He was getting pressured. He had the turnover. He had two turnovers in the first half. And then so what does Kenny do coming into the third quarter? He's coming out throwing dimes. Like, it, the mistakes didn't faze him at all.
Right.
He just came out and was like, all right, touchdown, touch, you know. And you want to see that. You saw three kids that whatever you think about who's the best, what you saw today is you saw three kids that have some moxie to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that you can't take away from any of them. They all deserve credit for that. Now, again, I have feelings on who played the best today or who showed me the most things that mean something for the fall today, but they all showed me some moxie. I mean, you went two, one team went 2 of 3 on fourth down. The other went 4 or 5 on fourth down. And I think with one exception, maybe two, they were all throws.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids showed us a little something today, all three of them. And we'll get into specifics. And some of you are going to like our analysis of certain players. Some of you won't, because you guys are just going to be team whoever you like. And that's totally cool. It is that's what it is. Fine. That's part of being a fan. But I just think we all need to sit back for a minute before we get into specifics of each kid and say, these kids can play.
They got
all
a deep
three
room.
Of these kids can play.
Right.
You can win 10 games next year with all three of the kids that we saw today.
Right.
And that's a great place to be. Great place to be. And Notre Dame hasn't been there in a while. It's been a while that they've been in a place like that. And I'm trying to think of it. Because even like 2014, where you had Everett Golson and Malik Zaire, Deshaun Kaiser wasn't ready to lead that year the way that CJ Carr is right now as a freshman. You go to 2015 where you had Malik and Deshaun, but I don't think Brandon Wimbush was ready to lead as a freshman the way that CJ Carr is right now. And we're not even getting into the fact that we're going to have Riley Leonard as part of this conversation in the fall. We're just talking about the three we saw today.
Right.
That's the key. The three, these kids all battled, competed, and showed poise, Vince.
Yeah.
And they all had to rally back from mistakes, and they all did it. And that, to me, more than anything, was my biggest takeaway. They all had really bad plays that they had to then respond to, and they all did.
I do want to bring up one item before we jump into the analysis of the three guys that actually played. Riley Leonard, in pregame, was in full pads, right? And we're not giving anything away because fans were in the stands as well, right? But he was in full pads going through warmups, and he was rolling out, and he was, you know, throwing the ball and doing all these different things. And then when the team came out for the actual game itself, he was in shorts and a t-shirt, and he was standing behind the offense and doing what he was doing, I believe, during last Saturday's scrimmage and just kind of doing the mental rep thing. I saw him kind of mirroring the quarterback and doing some different things, going through the reads and things like that. But he was in full gear during pregame. You know, he was not limited during pregame. I want to stress that. It's pregame, right? There's no, you know, live guys coming at you or anything like that. But he was rolling out just like the other quarterbacks were doing. He was getting his drops. He was doing all the different things that the other quarterbacks were doing. But then when the game started, he was obviously in street clothes. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And he had on the brace, right? The Tyco, I think, brace or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, call it, so he had the brace on, but he was stepping into his throws. I mean, and that's his plant foot, is his right ankle. So he was stepping into throws, and he had some zip on the ball, and I was impressed with, you know, the way his arm looked, because I didn't see him obviously last Saturday, and so being able to see him this Saturday and just kind of get some oomph on those throws, I was impressed. Right, I was surprised he was in full gear, helmet, shoulder pads, the whole deal. So just wanted to throw that out there so people understood, because I don't know if they put that on the TV, you know, broadcast or what have you, but that was Riley Leonard's part of it. So that was his day was done after warmups. But he's still progressing, I'm guessing, on time.
With the next three events, let's go by seniority.
Okay.
We'll talk with each. We'll go Steve, Kenny, and then CJ. So we'll go from a seniority standpoint.
Perfect.
Why don't you go ahead and kick us off, talk about what you saw. What'd you like from Steve today? What were some of the concerns that you saw, or some of the issues that Steve had today? Let's kick it off with him.
So Steve was the quarterback of the blue team. First pick in the draft. Got his picture with the coach, right? And so he led the
rewarded him with that, with the game winning touchdown at the end. So yeah, there you go.
Right. So what he did well, you kind of already talked about, right? He didn't look great early and then responded. He responded. And his best throw of the day, in my opinion, was, and somebody put it in the chat earlier before I shut it off, his best throw was that fourth down throw where he threw it to Greathouse and put it up where only Greathouse could get it and pulled it down for the first down to ice the game, right? That was the fourth down. There was still time on the clock. If they don't convert that, there's still time on the clock for CJ Carr or Kenny Minchie, whoever would have quarterbacked the gold team, to go down and put a score on the board to try to tie it up or what have you, right? That was a moxie play, man. Like that play was a serious play by Steve Angeli. And so he made some plays today. There's no doubt about it. He did not start out the game in a very positive manner, okay? His first couple of series, in my opinion, he was checking down. And he wasn't really going through his reads completely. If his first read wasn't there, he was checking down. Good throws to check down most of the time. There was one where, I think it was in the second half, where he was checking down, and it was the right read, actually, to check down to Jeremiah Love, but it was a bad throw. It's like, you got to give Jeremiah Love an opportunity to make a play with the football in his hands, because Jeremiah Love was wide open and with room to run. Just put it there and let him go out and make a play. So I did not like the way he was not really going through his reads and some different things. And that was a little bit frustrating early on. It was a little bit of confirmation bias for me. And I was like, I didn't like it, right? But then he bounced back in the second half because he was only in for a couple of series, right, Brian? Before CJ Carr came in and was running with the blue team. So he's only in for a couple of series, and then he didn't come back in until the second half. And the second half, he started to settle down a little bit more and did a little bit better with what he wanted it to do.
A perfect example, Vince, is the play you're talking about. It was in the third quarter, and it was a second and 12. And, like, I thought there was another route he could have gone to. He threw the check down to Jeremiah. I'm fine with that. But he kind of rushed it. His footwork got a little bit choppy, and he kind of threw it, and Jeremiah catches it and falls down. Well, that puts you in a third and 11 situation. Now, you were able to get out of it because on the next play, you threw another ball 2 yards down the field that Jeremiah Love catches, makes people miss, and turns it into a 32-yard gain.
Yeah.
And so your teammate bailed you out. That's fact. Teammate bailed you out. But what was the fourth down throw you're talking about at Jaden Greathouse?
The very last play,
it was the same drive.
Right.
So, yes, Steve made a big mistake that he's got to get better at. But that's what I was saying earlier is he was not playing well up to that point in time in the second half. He really wasn't. He was struggling in the second half up to that point in time. But then his teammate bails him out. But then he gets put into a fourth and six situation, and he goes out there and makes the play on fourth and six. And then on the next play as well, like he shows poise and patience. He sees the defense bailing. So he could have rushed the throw to Jack Larson, but he waited, let Jack clear the defense, then threw the ball to Jack, and you get a 19-yard gain. So that's kind of the give and take you have with Steve is
right.
There's just going to be too many times where he just locks into that first read. And you're as a junior, you can't be there. And sometimes it's even the right read, but championship quarterbacks sometimes don't make the right read because they're trying to make the bigger play in the proper way.
Right.
And there's just times where good defenses can bait you into the right read all the time, and it's a short game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to be willing to kind of counterpoint that. And Steve just doesn't do that. He just doesn't do that whole thing where I'm going to freeze this guy to bring it back here. There was a particular play that I'll mention. There was a play where Jaden Osbury did about as good of a job as an outside linebacker can do, playing the deep end and the flat route both at the same time. I mean, it was excellent by Jaden Osbury. But as a quarterback, as a junior quarterback, you've got to look to that slide with your eyes and try to get Jaden Osbury to go and then bang that in cut behind. Even the way Jaden Osbury played it, he still needs to hit that in cut because throw it open and let the guy run into it. We saw CJ Carr do that last week.
Right.
And so, you know, Steve kind of took the check down and the easy play. those are the things he still has to learn, is I got to know when to make the play. Because even today, the big throws he made were all his first read. The fourth and sixth throw to Greatenhouse, it was his primary read. And first read doesn't mean that he's reading one receiver. It's right. I have one read. If he goes here, I throw here. If he goes there, I throw there. So he may get to the second target, but it's the second target as part of the first read. Does that make sense? So like when right. you're running a snag concept, and I'll break this down for the premium members, but essentially what you have, it's a three route concept. You're going to have the outside guy is going to run what you call a snag route. He's going to kind of work over number two, find an opening in the zone. Number two is going to run a corner route, and then a back or a number three receiver is going to run a quick slide route. So you've got kind of a triangle concept, high-low. And with Steve, he will basically kind of lock in on that first read and just immediately take something. And sometimes it works.
Right.
But then other times it's like, dude, if you can just lock your eyes on that guy, hold him, bang that corner out over top, right? Like that's the throw to make. And that's going to be part of Steve's learning process. But you're kind of like, dude, you're a junior now. You ran that concept last year at Notre Dame. This isn't a new concept at Notre Dame. Den Brock loves it, but Jared Parker ran it a decent amount too. And Tommy Rees ran it. So you've been running mm-hmm. this play for 3 years. Those are the kind of things that's the next step that Steve's going to have to get to based on today. There were just too many times that we saw today, Vince, where, you know, like I got these notes right here, like nine open on the option, right? And miss nine up the seam, you know, 19 open, post is open. You know, I mean, how many times did I write that down today, Vince, where I'm like, dude, you 19 open. You know, where you're throwing this route, but you're not making the right pre-snap read to say, hey, this is where I need to get to. So that to me is where
and
he's going to have to me evolve as a player.
Right. And he didn't look comfortable. I'll say it. He didn't look early. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the times that you're talking about where, you know, with the reads, he just didn't look comfortable. He's wanted to get rid of the ball. Right. And if it wasn't there, kind of. Not happy feet necessarily, but just like, I got to get rid of it. I got to get rid of it. Like it just didn't feel comfortable for him. Yeah.
It's still sped up for him. Yeah.
Right. Right. It just didn't feel comfortable.
But that's what I liked about what we saw from him later is he did look a little bit more calm in the pocket. Agreed. But even then, he never went past his first read.
Right.
That's the issue.
And that's a problem. I mean, it's something they're going to have to work on.
It limits you a little bit as a quarterback because you're just going to need to make some of those plays sometimes. It's why Dabo Swinney was completely fine with Deshaun Watson throwing 17 picks in 2016. And the media would just lose their minds every time he threw an interception. But Dabo's like, yes, but did you see those four throws he made over here? If I beat that out of him, then we don't get that helped us win the football game. Now, I'm not saying you're okay with Steve throwing interceptions, but what I am saying is the other two younger kids showed me a little bit more. I'm going to fit this sucker in there.
Yeah.
And Steve needs a little bit more of that.
Right.
Just part of that, honestly, Vince, is an experience thing. I mean, CJ Carr threw for almost as many yards as a senior in high school. Steve Angeli's thrown his entire career of playing football at the high school and college level. I mean, so even though he's a junior, he hasn't played a ton of football where he's had to make those reads. So that's still part of the evolution for Steve Angeli because it's not so much a physical limitation. He doesn't have the same arm talent the other guys have, but he showed he can make some throws. I mean, he showed the deep ball to Jordan Faison in the bowl game that he can make that throw, but he's going to have to you know, make some of those plays a little bit more. But again, he had some mistakes. He was stressed at times. You could see him visibly forcing things because of how well Kenny and CJ were playing.
Absolutely.
But what did he do? After I looked at you and made that analysis of he's pressing. Mm-hmm. He's seeing what CJ and Kenny are doing and he's pressing. He threw two touchdown passes after that. He didn't. He threw one touchdown. He led the offense on two touchdown drives after that.
Right.
Because he threw the ball to Jack Larson. They got inside, but it's actually Jeremiah Love that scored the touchdown. So excuse me. He led two touchdown drives after that. And that's the thing you love about Steve is he just like, he doesn't process information the way that I want as a quarterback, But the kid has got tons of I was going to say something I shouldn't say on a show. He's got lots of guts and lots of moxie and lots of confidence. Now he just has to turn that confidence into being willing to maybe take some more shots.
Right.
And that's where he's going to have to get to. But the kid, look, here's the thing, you know, Steve Angeli's not going to get into a game and just fold. Agreed. He's not going to mentally and emotionally fold. He's not. And there's something to be said about that. I can work with that as a coach. If I can run the football and play great defense, I can win a lot of football games with a kid like Steve Angeli. Because I know when the game's on the line, he's not going to fold. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to just get overwhelmed by the moment and fold. He's
the
not.
The only, just to play devil's advocate to your statement, the only thing that worried me was the fact that he was pressing because of the way the other two quarterbacks were playing.
But I think that's, that happens to the best of quarterbacks.
I'm just saying, but what worries me about that is, okay, you're playing in a big game, you get down, and is that too much pressure? How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to press and then make another mistake?
But the quarterbacks are going to press and do that sometimes. It's what do you do in response to it? And your point is completely valid, Vince, because people say, well, it's not like that in a game. Yeah, it is, because people say, well, quarterbacks don't play against each other. Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yes. No, Tom Brady is not throwing against Peyton Manning on defense. Right. But trust me.
Yeah,
these guys are watching what the other guy's doing because they know, man, this guy's going to bring it. I can't afford to make a mistake. Kind of mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But what I'll say about Steve is, again, Vince, you are correct. He can't press like that. It does happen. No quarterback can press like that. But what did he do in response? You know, yes, teammates had to bail him out a little bit. But what did he do in response? He makes the fourth and sixth throw. He comes back and makes – yes, it was underthrown a little bit, but – he also knew that they had – because they ran a stop and go, and he knew the corner was beat. So you and I talked – I was going to go back and look at that play.
Yeah, I looked at that play.
So, no, the guy hadn't fallen down yet.
Okay.
But they ran a stop and go, and he saw the corner lunging as he's getting torched by – so that's why he kind of – you could watch Stevie. He's kind of laid it up there. He wasn't trying to lead him like this. He was just get it out there before the safety can get over.
Gotcha.
So I understood, like, okay, yeah, you don't want to underthrow it like that. But I believe Steve saw the corner was torched, even though the guy hadn't fallen down yet. And so, you know, that's kind of what – but you still don't want to underthrow it too much because you want to make sure your receiver can catch it and run for a touchdown, which I thought for the most part he did. He didn't make him, like, completely wait for it. So that's the thing with Steve is you just have to understand – He showed today why you want a kid like him on your football team. Because
he's a valuable person.
You have to bring him off the bench in a game. You know he's not going to be overwhelmed by the moment.
Right.
He's going to go out there and compete his butt off. You just need to now teach him the things. Because I don't think Steve's issue with not going past his first read is out of fear of making a mistake. I just don't think he's comfortable with it.
Sure.
I just don't think it's something he has a ton of experience doing in live situations. Again, this is a kid that threw as a senior in high school, threw for 1,700 yards, and as a junior in high school and this isn't all his fault because his junior year was the COVID year. He only played like 5 or 6 games. Didn't even throw for 1,000 yards. So he just doesn't have the same experience as a guy like CJ Carr who had to carry his high school football team the last 3 years. Or a guy like Kenny Minchie, who was Kenny Minchie threw more yards as a junior, I believe, than Steve Angeli has in his career. That's the thing. So it's an experience thing where with Ian Book, I just felt Ian didn't process information well, but Ian just didn't have that. You know, he needed to be in a games on the line setting before Ian would finally let the ball loose, right? That's what was so frustrating. But I think with Steve, it's more so about he's just not comfortable with it yet.
Okay.
Which means I think that can be coached out of him. Now, the problem is, are you going to have time to learn that?
Because you got guys nipping at your heels.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Let's talk about Kenny next. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question first before we turn the page. No, that's okay. And you can tell me if I'm crazy, which is an absolute possibility. Would you say that there's a comparison between the way you just described Steve Angeli, like he's a guy you want on your team, he's a guy you can plug in, you can win games with, he just might not be your starter at this moment. Can you make the comparison that he's the Clarence Lewis of the offense? He's going to be solid when you put him in there, but maybe he's not your starter. Does that make sense?
Or your star.
And, yeah, and he's a guy so. That you want on that team, though. Yeah. He's a guy that's a very valuable piece to your team.
Well, somebody in the chat said, you know, he's a Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron type. And I would say, I think AJ McCarron had more physical tools, but I think Greg McElroy is a great comparison.
Okay.
Greg McElroy won a national championship. Jacob Coker in 2015 at Alabama is another example. These guys were not big-time playmakers, but they weren't going to get you beat.
Right.
And that's the thing about the way that Steve plays. Steve's not going to necessarily get you beat. What I liked about today, because I was at the game last week, he didn't get baited into some of the mistakes he got into last week.
Learned.
So he bounced back from that. Yeah. That's the thing, Vince. It's like, you know, yes, he played poorly here, but he bounced back and did it. So I just feel like he's a guy that you can get to a certain point with.
Yeah.
But he's not the kind of guy that's going to put a team on his shoulders and say, I got this for 60 minutes. He may be able to do in a drive or off the bench or things like that. But, you know, the Clarence Lewis example, I think, is a fair one because Clarence is a smart kid, all those things. He just didn't have quite the physical gifts that maybe some other guys had. Because if Clarence Lewis was as athletic as a guy like Christian Gray, he'd be a much better player. To me, there's a big difference between Clarence Lewis and Ramon Henderson. Like, Ramon has all the physical gifts. He just doesn't have football instincts. Clarence does. Right. Clarence just doesn't run well enough. That's just the same with DJ Brown. It's just, I think that actually might be a better example. Steve Angeli's like the DJ Brown of your offense.
Okay.
Where you love the kid. You're glad you have him on your team. You want him in the trenches with you. You want him in that foxhole with you. But at the end of the day, is he going to be that guy that
can put you over the top?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think today was sort of another example of why I feel that way. But today was also an example of why he has supporters.
Sure, absolutely.
Because he will go out there and compete his butt off.
Make plays when he needs to,
and not get overwhelmed by the moment. And you understand it.
Right.
But you have to be able to balance those two things when you see a performance like today from Steve. You can't, because like some people are going to write off, you know, the fact he went 17 of 25 for 228 yards, two touchdowns, had a 62-yard gain throw at the end of the game. I'm not going to dismiss that. I'm not going to write that off. That's a good day's work.
Sure.
But as a quarterback's coach and the guy that played the position, there's a lot of things to look at and say, those are things that a junior has to be doing. And he's not. And he didn't do it last week. And he didn't do it this week. And he didn't do it last year. I mean, you go back and look at the throws he made against Oregon State. They were all his first read.
Right.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
Same thing. And that's the thing he's going to have to get to.
For sure.
Yeah. But if all he's right. put a good enough of talent around him, you can win a lot of games with
that. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just like we said, getting the ball to Jeremiah Love in space. He didn't make a great throw the first time. He fell down. And then the very next play, he gets to Jeremiah Love on a 3-yard pass. And ends up being a 37-yard gain.
But he got it to him quick.
Right, exactly.
So the best thing is when the first read's there, Steve's going to get that sucker out quick and give his guys a chance to make a play. I think he threw the ball to Deion Colsey, also on third down. Wasn't it him that did that? Let me find here. So he threw a stop route to Deion, and that allowed Deion to go pick up a third down. I thought that was Steve. Was I mistaken on that? Let me see here. It was a third and nine. No, that was CJ. Sorry. CJ made that throw.
There was a
play where he threw the ball to Deion Colsey. I thought it was him that threw the ball. Maybe it was CJ. But I thought he had a third down. Yes, it was on the second drive. He threw that little quick snag to Deion, but he got it out so quickly. It was his first read. He hit that snag so quickly that allowed – and Deion did a great job of catching it and immediately getting to the sticks because Deion knew the situation. It's third and long, and I just caught – it's third and 11, and I just caught the ball 6 yards down the field.
Right.
I gotta go.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if Steve waits, then the defense collapses on Deion, and he gets caught 2, 3, 4 yards short of the sticks.
Right. Right.
And that was the deal.
All right. Let's talk about the next guy on the seniority list, and that would be Kenny Minchie. And Kenny was the first quarterback for the gold team. So he got first stab at the gold team and had the entire first half. He had the whole first half. I thought that he relied on his legs a little bit early and did some good things, honestly, with his legs. And then he was able to kind of use his arm a little bit later in the game and threw just an absolute
couple
of a ball to Micah Gilbert for that touchdown. I mean, he could not have placed it in his hands any better than he did. Great route also by Micah Gilbert, but just a great throw.
We'll talk a lot about the way Micah
100%
played that ball for
100%. But but Kenny, I thought once he got comfortable in the game, he started trusting his arm a little bit more. Like his instinct is to use his legs, and he's really good at it. Don't get me wrong. He's really
What's funny is that's not how he was in high school.
Oh, interesting.
Like, because he was that way. Like, Kenny could make plays with his legs in high school. There's no doubt. But he was a guy that would move around looking to throw.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't this guy in high school. And I wonder, like, is he trying to separate himself and show his, because he is a good athlete.
He's got something different. Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the things I loved about Kenny in high school was he was a guy that when he would run around, he would run around, but he'd be looking down the field and saying, hey, where am I going to throw the football?
Yeah.
And look, his numbers to me should have been better than they were. He had, first drive of the game, third and seven. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. CJ or Kenny tried to make a throw that I just don't know that I've ever seen Steve Angeli even try to make. And it was a curl route in between three guys.
Mm-hmm.
The corner was coming in this way. Drake Bowen is screaming out to get underneath the curl. I mean, he's playing hook curl from the mic position. And Kenny sees that and he knows, I got to get this sucker out quick and with some gas. And he did, and Micah dropped it. Right. So he had a couple balls like that as well. And sometimes I wonder, like, did that lead Kenny to say, hey, I kind of got to do this on my own? You know, because he did have a couple plays where I didn't think his teammates necessarily helped him out the way that maybe Steve was getting helped out.
Sure.
And so but you can't be that way. Right. Like if a guy drops a ball, you got to come right back to him. But it was good to see him make some of those plays. He made some really impressive throws today. But there, like Steve, there was a couple misses that he had there. There was the one play where he scrambled for 12 yards. He's got the post. He's got to take it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Kenny is Kenny on the intermediate to short stuff is willing to pull the trigger a little bit. But he's just not quite ready to – in the first half, he was just not quite ready to pull it over the middle. Now, the second half, we saw him – pull it and throw those deep balls, but those post throws he's going to have to, because I've seen him do this in practice a couple times too. Dude, you got that one-on-one in the post, you got to know where to put that ball away from the defense, and that's part of what Kenny's going to have to learn. But you know, Vince, the thing is though, but he was making plays with his legs today. He was. I mean, there were some clutch moments today where he went out and made plays with his legs and got the defense going and was able to move the chains. But what we're also seeing from Kenny is there's some inconsistency from him from a processing standpoint. There's a couple times where the defense was able to show one thing pre-snap, drop to something different, and it jacked him up. That's what happened on the interception. They ran their slot fade concept, and the defense did a great job of Jaden Mickey did such a good job of sitting on that corner until he felt Jaden Osbury was ready to take it, and then he came up underneath the slot fade. And Kenny was thinking he was going to throw the slot fade, and then Jaden Mickey took it away, and the safety took it away, and then he tries to force a ball on the Y option, but the other linebacker had kind of gotten over there and taken that away, and then they tip the ball up, and it gets picked off. Like, he's going to have to learn, it's third down. I don't mind an interception on third and 13. I don't mind an interception, but I mind an interception that happens 10 yards down the field.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if he tries to fit a slot fade in there and it gets picked off at the 23-yard line, it's as good as a good of a punt.
Right.
If it's incomplete and you take that shot, then we're putting the ball away. But you can't make that mistake. And those are parts of the things that Kenny's going to have to work through, and that'll happen. But you also saw him today, Vince, as well, show an understanding of, hey, when you make that read and you know that you've got a short, small window, you've got to get that ball out quickly. And Kenny had three or four window throws today, Vince, that I thought were really good. Like, really good. He hit a slant route to KK Smith. That was a real tight window throw. He made the curl route to Micah Gilbert. That was a tight window throw. And that go route, like, the first deep ball he hit was wide open. It was blown coverage. And he read it correctly.
Right.
So they ran a post-snap switch. And so Micah Gilbert worked inside and got up the seam. KK Smith worked off his tail and got vertical. and the corner didn't pass it off. The corner squeezed down on Micah Gilbert, and Kenny saw it immediately and got the ball out right now. Great read. He saw the corner was eyes on the inside slot, and he knew the safety couldn't get over top of that. He hit it right now. Boom. Great read. And then he saw the next one. He had a one-on-one outside, and he drops a perfect dime on the outside to Micah Gilbert.
No, oh my.
So
yes.
When CJ knows where, when Kenny knows where he wants to go with the ball and he throws with conviction, it is a thing of beauty. It is as pretty as you're going to see. I mean, and you guys saw that today. When Kenny knows where to go and he throws with confidence, he can throw some dimes. And it wasn't just those two throws. It was the third and seven that was dropped by Micah Gilbert. That's a big-time throw. Micah Gilbert's got to make that play.
And that was the one early in the game, right? That was the first very drive. Early one. Yeah,
first drive. Third and seven, man. And he's like, hey, we got to get a first down.
And he squeezed that in, too, because there was defenders coming from both directions. And that ball got there right beforehand. It was a great throw. It was a great throw. And I think Micah Gilbert just kind of saw the guy coming out of the corner of his eye and just took his eyes off the ball or whatever. But that was a heck of a throw. I mean, that was a heck of a throw early on in the game as well. So I was like, okay, Kenny. All right, here we go. You know, and I think, I don't know if that shook his confidence at all because of that drop, but then he started kind of relying on his legs a little bit more in the first half.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep. But on the touchdown drive he had, Vince, you saw him more willing to get the ball out quick. I mean, so you're looking at it. He runs a snag slide that they on first and 10 that goes for nothing. He kind of pressured it. And then he had a first and 10. He hit a really quick stop route to Jack Polian over the middle. Like he had to fit that ball in tight. Jack was covered pretty well.
Yes.
He put the ball away from the defender. Jack made a really good catch of it. Like that was a good route, good catch by Jack Polian and a good job by the defense, but a just better job by the offense. Then he hits the Y under. So I'll break this down later, but basically they're running an inside zone. And instead of the tight end blocking backside, he goes out in the flats. And so the quarterback reads it. If the guy crashes down, it's just like a pull. He gets outside. And if the tight end has leverage to the outside, you throw it. If he doesn't have leverage, you go, and then keep. And the first time they ran it, Kenny threw it to the tight end, and they gained 11 yards. And then they had an inside zone. And then he had they finished the drive off. But, like, his legs also had some impact on that drive. Like, he had that scramble for 15 yards. I mean, so he was able to do that. And then, of course, they ran a second and one zone read, and he keeps it and picks up the first down. So what I liked was that Kenny just wasn't feeling it in the first half for a while there, throwing the football. Right. But he showed that, hey, I don't have to be feeling it to make plays. And then as he got more comfortable as a thrower and he got into a better rhythm as a thrower, then he started making more plays with his arm. But you can't do that if you don't have that running ability. As much as I like Steve, Kenny's a better athlete.
For sure.
Kenny's a more natural runner than Steve is. And so you saw those deals today, and that's what makes Kenny dangerous is because he does have that ability to move the chains, get out of the pocket. Now, he also at times didn't feel the edge pressure the way that he needs to feel the edge pressure. That's something Kenny's going to have to work on. You're going to have a better sense of that backside dude's coming down on you because he had the one strip sack, but then there was another time that I don't think he felt that outside pressure. And he ended up stepping up into it. But I think he stepped into it because of what he saw to his face, not because of what came behind him. So that's another aspect of it. But, Vince, I'm going to tell you right now, man, when Kenny throws with conviction, it is an absolute thing of beauty. And we saw that today. Like, look, this kid's still young. He's still learning. This is a kid that missed a chunk of his senior year because of an injury. But what you guys saw today, that when Kenny is comfortable with what he's seeing – he can lead his offense. I mean, he led the offense on two touchdown drives as well today.
He's a threat. Yeah. And I also like the fact, and you mentioned it early on when we were talking about big picture or whatever, but, you know, when they got down to the goal line, they're not afraid to put the ball in his hands and let him run the football. You know, it was the quarterback buck sweep, into the end zone.
I mean,
he had to be a patient runner on that, by the way.
And I didn't know that he had that in him.
Right. He had to be a patient runner on that. He had to kind of let the block set up in front of him and then just kind of lower his shoulder and get in there. Right. I mean, that's not the easiest thing to do, especially if you're not used to being a power running quarterback which he's not. I mean, that wasn't his game, obviously, in high school. And so I like the fact that they're kind of expanding his game a little bit down around the goal line. That was good. And obviously we'll talk about the offensive line here in a second on that particular play. But I thought that run was very indicative of how he's growing as a runner with the football in his hands, which is a nice, nice piece for Kenny.
I didn't know that he had that, Vince. That's the thing. I'll say it again. Like, we're talking about the impact he made today as a runner, but I always felt Kenny was more of a use his athleticism for the passing game kind of guy.
Sure.
And so to see that,
get out of trouble. Like,
yeah, okay. There's a little bit more there than I thought he had.
Right.
And there's a couple times I thought he was going to slide and he just kept going.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, bro, you got 15 yards. I thought he was going to slide at 7, you know? Yeah. And so again, he's a work in progress.
Absolutely.
He too is not as sharp as I want him to be getting to that second and third progression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's going to get better there. He's just more of a, if I don't feel it, I'm getting out, you know? And again, I, you've got the arm talent to hang in there and bang that backside dig.
Right.
You've got the arm talent to bang that front side post. Take it. Don't be afraid to take it. Cause if you're going to win this job, if you're going to beat out CJ Carr, and if you're going to beat out Steve Angeli and then win the starting job next year, and you know, you're going to have to – those are the throws that you need to make. You can make them, you know, and that's the thing. My advice to CJ and Kenny would both be don't lose the job because of the throws you weren't willing to make.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. You don't want to be that guy. You have the arm talent to do it. Take those chances. That's what the coaches want to see. Take those chances. As long as, again, I don't even count as a chance. It's like, guy was double covered and I'm throwing it up. I'm talking about, I'm taking this post. It's a one-on-one. Guy's not wide open, but I have leverage here, so I'm going to put the ball here and get it out there. And we saw the same thing happen last week. There was a couple times that I just want to see, I see him look at it, and like, I know that he knows that ball needs to come out, but he just doesn't pull the trigger down the field. And I want to see him. So what I'm hoping, Vince, is that the throws he made on that last drive that he was in, and I think that was his last drive. The touchdown pass, I believe, was Kenny's last drive.
I think
maybe he got one more. But that's the stuff I hope reminds him of who he is. Hey, buddy, those are the throws that are why Tommy Rees and the Notre Dame staff went after you in the first place. Those are the throws that got you to the Elite 11. Those are the throws that had you throwing for 3,000 yards plus in high school. You can make that throw. Now go do it, because that's how you're going to win this job. If you're going to win this job, is because you have the talent to make those throws. Don't force the issue, but when it's there, take it. Trust your teammates and if they don't make the play, that's on them. That's on them. But yeah, I mean, there are some things I saw from him today that I was like, okay, I know he can do this and he needs to do it, but I didn't know he could do that. And that's a good sign.
Absolutely. It's another box to check for him in this competition. So, all right, let's talk about the third quarterback of the day. And that would be CJ Carr. He was wearing a green jersey. So he played for both teams. In the first half, he spelled Steve Angeli with the blue team. And then in the second half, he spelled Kenny Minchie for the gold team. So got reps with everybody, frankly. And so I guess that means he's a winner. I mean, I don't know. He was on the blue team for a while, led him to a touchdown drive. So he was part of the win.
Well, as I said before the game to you, Vince, I can guarantee that CJ Carr's team is going to win today.
Yeah.
But exactly. I can also guarantee that CJ Carr's team is going to lose today. That's what happened.
Yes. You know what I mean? Easy prediction on your part on that one. But look, CJ Carr made some rookie mistakes in this game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there were a couple of times where he needs to get the ball out a little bit quicker. You know, there's a couple of times you talked about Kenny Minchie feeling some of that edge pressure. There was the one sack. I think he needs to feel that a little bit quicker and maybe get the ball, you know, out of his hands. There was the one where he was getting chased to the sideline, runs out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. And that was always my big, that always just.
Well, can I say there's one difference between that and what Ian Book did?
Okay,
as a quarterback, when you're throwing to the left, that's a much harder and more dangerous throw to make.
That's fair.
Because you have to turn and expose the football to that. And I remember
there's a guy trailing you, they could get a hand on it.
I think, isn't that what happened against Michigan State in 17? Where I think Brian Lewerke was running left and he tries to go like this and somebody hit him and Greer Martini recovered the fumble. I think it's because he was trying to throw to his left. Because when you turn like this to throw, the defense is coming here. Anything near you, you've now exposed the football to the defense, where to the right, stowed away.
Right.
And that's what would drive me nuts about Ian, because Ian would do the same thing to the right that he did to the left.
So frustrating.
To the left, like, I understand. Because yeah. And you also can't just flick the ball, because you got to get it past the line of scrimmage. And he was pretty far past line.
He was back quite a distance. But it was frustrating. It's like, throw it away. You know, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, he should have stayed in the pocket. That was the thing. He had a read that he should have got to, but I think he was kind of because of the way the pressure was, he was looking to get outside the pocket early. So I understood that, and that's what Coach Freeman was saying, is like, stay in the pocket. Don't get out too early. Stay in the pocket. Make the read. Get the ball out.
So definitely things, and we can expound on it, but definitely things that he needs to clean up and he needs to work on. But when he came in originally on the blue team, I'll tell you what, that kid, for being 18 years old or however old he is these days, as a second semester senior in high school, like, he played with some confidence, man. Like, the ball was just coming out smooth. I mentioned how, and I'm not trying to just compare the one to the other, but I mentioned how Steve Angeli just looked a little unsure in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's the complete opposite for CJ Carr. He does not look unsure in the pocket. He stands in there and he knows exactly what he wants to do. He got through his reads pretty quickly, got the ball out of his hands. And when the ball leaves CJ Carr's hand, it's just different. It's hard to put your finger on. It's hard to explain. I leaned over to you at one point. I was like, I wonder if watching on TV, it looks the way it does in.
Yeah, that was a good observation. Like, does what we saw, and it sounds like from what I'm reading in the chat, Vince, that it did.
Okay, good.
The question being, like, does it look, because we don't really watch games on TV anymore. We always watch, you know, either the All 22 or we're there.
Right.
And so it's like, does it come across on TV like the way that it does to us? Because there's a poise there. And all these kids have a level of poise, but this kid is just super poised and comfortable. Yeah. And it's just natural for him. And just something as simple as like the throw he made to Deion Colsey. I'm trying to remember what was the down and distance on that throw.
Was that the third down one?
No. Because he had a couple to Deion. He had the one on the scramble, right? The scramble out for 18. That's not the one I'm talking about. There was another one that CJ threw to Deion, where it was, he threw the ball high. It was an in cut. I thought it was an in cut. And CJ threw the ball high. And I'm like, that's the perfect place to put that ball. Because if you try to put it, when you have a 6'5 receiver and you put the ball here, you've now given that DB a chance to come through and go here. But when you have a 6'5 receiver coming over the middle and you put that ball here, that receiver, number one, the DB can't make a plan, but now the receiver can kind of catch it and hold it in a way that's harder when you're here and you got guys tugging on your elbows. And you're like, just the ball placement was just perfect.
Oh, I mean.
Now, it wasn't always the ball on the fourth down to KK Smith. That was a little high. You got to get that down about 4 or 5 inches in it and maybe you have something there. But his feel for the game, like the outcut that he threw, who did he throw that to?
KK Smith. KK.
Like there were two throws that he made today where I'm just like, I don't know that anyone else on this roster can make that throw. Or at least has shown the ability to make that throw. I'm like, does he know that there's a defensive back right in between him and the receiver? But the timing was so good and the trajectory of the ball was perfect, because one of two things happens there. One is he throws it flat and it gets picked off,
or at least two, knocked down.
He's late and the ball comes late and it's now KK may catch it, but he's out of bounds.
It sails out. Yeah.
The fact that he got that ball to KK over a defender and then allowed KK to catch it
2 feet in,
get 2 feet in bounds, you're like, that's a special throw.
Yeah.
The other one was the touchdown pass to Michael Gilbert.
He could not have reached out and handed the ball to him in a
But here's spot. What made that throw special. Micah beat the guy inside because his job there, win. And then Micah did a pretty decent job of getting back outside, but that cornerback stayed outside. Why? Because the corner had a safety coming over to help. And so the corner was going to let Micah, if you're going to beat me, you got to beat me inside, because I have safety help coming over. So if CJ throws that ball with a lot of touch, that safety comes over and breaks it up. But if he throws the ball on a line, that corner can maybe undercut it and make a play on it. He had the perfect combination of arc and velocity to where the corner had no chance and the safety couldn't get over fast enough. You know what I mean? Like, so if he puts that sucker with some air, the safety can maybe get over. It was just like, dude, that's such a savvy throw to read the release, the leverage release by the receiver. Because, like, if Micah wins outside, that ball's got to get thrown completely differently. It's got to get thrown exactly like the ball that Kenny had for a touchdown.
Right.
But because he won inside, because it looked to me, and I have to go back and watch it, but it looked to me like it was cover two. And so Micah presses outside. Well, by the way, Micah did a good job. Like, that was a really good route by Micah to kind of press initially, then beat inside, then get back out on the stem. And then he fit that sucker right in between two guys. And you're just like, dude, that's a senior in college throw.
Yes.
That this kid made in his first semester on campus.
Right. And like, and he also, I think it was a ball that he threw to Polian, I think, off the top of my head. But it was just indicative of the fact that he throws such a catchable football. I mean, guys just need to stick their hands up and it's bloop. I mean, it's just right there. And it's hard to explain what a catchable ball is to people who have
never played
receiver. Okay,
I can explain it. There's a few aspects of it. Number one is your ball placement's good.
Right.
It's like it's thrown with good timing, but not too early, not too late. So the timing is righteous. It's a play where the ball placement's good, meaning not every ball is meant to go right here. Sometimes I need that ball right here. Sometimes I need it 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 here. But everything, too, is it's he throws a good velocity, but it's such a tight spiral.
Right.
That it's just and the way that this other thing, too, is the nose stays level or down. When a ball can get a little tough to catch is when the nose gets up. That's when a ball can be a little bit tougher, but his ball stays on a really nice flat plane, which means I can now target. Because when I teach my receivers to catch football, get your eyes on that X. You know, like I would actually, and I learned this from, I think it was Curtis Johnson, who was used to be the receivers coach from my University of Miami, and he's been in the NFL for a while. But I think it was Coach Johnson did this, but he would take a football for receivers, and on the X, so like you know, you have the four layers of the leathers put in there. And he'd put a zero, right, on each one. And he would want the receivers to be able to yell out the number of the ball as it was coming. Because it's like, you don't focus on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. I never told my receivers to keep their eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the X. You know, it's like the scene from The Patriot. And I've actually, it's funny because, like, you know, I like to shoot.
Aim small, and
I like to throw. But, yes, that's exactly.
Where you're going. Yes.
Same thing with the receiver. Is don't focus on the ball, focus on zero in on a part of the ball. So when a quarterback throws with a really nice level plane, I can focus right on that football. And when I'm catching it, I'm catching the X and I'm catching the fat part of the ball. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's down, it's a little tougher. When it's up, it's a little bit tougher. CJ throws with a really nice flat plane where you just got to catch up. And Kenny does as well. Kenny does as well.
Those two throw the ball.
Kenny's very, a little bit more inconsistent. Kenny will get some that are a little bit like up or down, but both of them throw the ball real nicely.
Yeah.
And that's really what a catchable ball is. And it's got velocity, but it's not humming at me.
It's not too much. Yeah.
Right.
It's not too much. Right. It's not Brett Favre where it's coming 1,000
John
miles
Elway or
right.
Yeah,
right.
Where it's like, you know, you're leaving X's on your chest. You know, like
it's like, dude, it was a 12-yard pass.
The Broncos receivers will talk about the Elway cross.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't really a part of the team if you didn't have an Elway cross in your shoulder pads. And what it was is because you know the X on the ball would look like a cross. Mm-hmm. And if you caught it with your pads, John Elway threw so hard that it would leave indentations on their pads and it would be the X of the football and it looked like a cross. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like that. But he can throw a zip. It's not like he's throwing, you know, floaters out there either. That's what a catchable ball is, and that's what CJ does as well as anybody.
Oh, so catchable. So catchable.
Kenny's pretty good at that too. But CJ's look, I love Kenny. Y'all know that.
So do I.
But CJ just throws the ball different. And this is what I think a lot of the scouting services missed. No, he's not 6'5", 220. No, he doesn't throw the ball 75 yards down the air. But this kid just throws it different. This kid just spins it different, man. And he just There's just something about him. But that's not even really it, because I have seen kids that look phenomenal at seven on sevens and camps, throwing the ball with no pressure. But the thing I said last week was why I want to see them with not why I want to see those guys live, Vince, is because CJ made a throw last week where he stepped into the pocket and he threw an in cut. And I'm like, does CJ have the moxie? I know he has the moxie to make that throw when he's wearing a red jersey. Right. But does he have the moxie to make that throw when he's not, like, protected by the red jersey? And today he did exactly
that. The answer is yes.
And to the point where I felt one time he probably shouldn't have thrown the ball while taking that hit.
The one that was short that yes. should have been picked off. Yeah.
Right. And Deion yes. Colsey did a great job on that. But my thing is either A, get it out sooner, or B, check it down.
Right.
But there was a willingness where, like, I know the defense is collapsing around me, but I need to get that ball out. And that was impressive to me. But the other thing too, Vince, not only did he show that, but he goes to his second, third progression better than the other two quarterbacks. And here's the thing. This is now the second game in a second live situation in a row that I've seen that. And I'm saying that CJ Carr is a true freshman, goes through his progressions better and more consistently than Angeli or Kenny.
I agree.
And he did it last week. And he did it again today.
Yeah, so it's not an anomaly per se from one practice. We've seen it twice now, and it's just very smooth. He doesn't look like he's rushing things back there. He's going through it. It makes sense to him. There, he does a good job. There was the one, it was the screen, I think, and I'm pretty sure it was him. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was the screen to Fisher, right? Was that CJ where he comes across, and it was CJ. I remember it now. He takes the snap. He's looking left. So he at least freezes the defense for a moment and then comes back and hits Fisher going to his right. And it was meant to be a screen. It was meant to get him out in space, you know, do the whole thing and with blockers in front and all that. But he did a great, he didn't rush that at all. He allowed the play to set up. He's looking downfield to his left and then comes back to his right and puts the ball right on Fisher where it needed to go. Right. So it wasn't even a read situation, but it's like carrying.
Cause out he the knew paint. Where the ball was going.
Exactly.
And he knew I need to manipulate the D. And this is what I was talking about earlier that Steve needs to do. You know where you want to get that ball. Use your eyes to manipulate Jaden Osbury. Yes. He only needs to take a step that way.
Correct.
And I've got that window to bang that in cut behind it. Steve, Kenny understands that to a degree. CJ definitely shows he understands that.
Absolutely.
That savviness, we're like, this kid is really wicked smart.
Yeah, he is.
And
look, he grew up with Lloyd. You know, I mean, the lineage makes sense. He's been coached probably since he was in a fetus.
I had a former Notre Dame coach told me, look, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks in my day. He's the smartest quarterback I've ever been around. Ever seen.
There you go.
And you're seeing exactly what we're talking about. Like his feel for the game is so far beyond what you expect from a freshman. And he still has a lot of physical room for development.
Absolutely.
He's got plenty of room to get bigger and stronger, but he already throws the ball really well.
Right.
Pocket management is still a work in progress.
Sure.
We saw that today, knowing when to climb, knowing when to get out, knowing when to slide step and then get rid of the ball. Those are all things that CJ still has to learn, but the feel for it is there. He just has to get a little bit more consistent with it.
Which is one of the reasons that I'm happy the season is not resting on CJ Carr's shoulders in April.
Or Kenny's.
Or Steve. Like, because there's room for all three of these guys to improve, right? None of these guys are a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. And we haven't seen Riley Leonard, obviously. He's still the starter. Like, he is the starter. He's had the experience. He's been in the trenches. He's done all of the things, and we've seen him do all of the things, right? But I love where this group of three are right now, because they can use this year to get to where they need to be and then battle it out in 25 for whoever happens to be the starter, right? That I'm happy that we're not counting on any of the three of them to be the man this year. Now, could they be? Could they step in and do really good things? Absolutely. But I'm happy that that's not where Notre Dame is right now. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy about that, but I love the future of this program from the quarterback room. Love it. Love it. You can be successful with these guys. There's no question in my mind. No question.
Well, the other thing too, Vince, that I absolutely love about this group is you can see that they're pushing each other.
Right.
Right. They're seeing what the other guy's doing. And, you know, it's okay. And sometimes it means that, okay, I maybe press a little bit. Other times, like, okay, you did that. Now I got to do this.
Sure.
And they're all competing. That's the thing I love. Here's the thing that I was curious about.
Mm-hmm.
Who folds? Like, that was like, who folds? Who's the guy that just looks at the other three guys and is like, I'm just not getting my chance, or I'm not getting this, or and kind of gets in their feelings a little bit. You know what I saw today? And to me, transferring is not folding. That's okay. I've made a business decision. I'm competing my butt off, and I'm talking about, like, during the spring, who folds? And what I saw today, the answer is none of them.
Exactly.
None of them folded.
Right.
They all had opportunities to fold. Mm-hmm. Kenny had every reason to fold after the way that scrimmage started and his interception. And he could have been like, well, there was my chance. I had my chance and I blew it. But it came right back and threw some of the best balls we saw all day. Steve had chances to fold today. Plenty of chances to fold today. And he said, nah, I'm going to keep battling. And the same thing with CJ. And I think that says so much about the kids in that room. Now, again, I have my feeling on the hierarchy of what it should be.
Oh, yeah.
I say is, like, you know what? There's not a kid in that quarterback room right now that, as a coach, I'd be afraid to go to battle with. Not a one. Do I think Steve Angeli's the best guy in that room? Absolutely not, talent-wise. Do I think he can process reads and all that? Not at all. But will I ever question about whether or not that kid will battle with me? I do not. Does Kenny Minchie need to clean up some of his mistakes and be willing to take some chances here and there? And yes, he does. But do I feel like if I got to put that kid on the field, do I feel like he's going to battle his butt off? Absolutely do. I'll go to battle with that kid. And the same thing is true with CJ. And that's a great place. It's a problem because sometimes as a coach, you want somebody to seize hold of something, but you're also kind of, well, you know what? This guy folded and he's not that guy. But if you're Gino, you're like, did I put every pressure on every one of these kids all spring? And they've had some good practices, some bad practices, but every single time that, like, it's like a boxing match. I mean, there's been rounds where Kenny took a beating, maybe in a Tuesday practice or in a scrimmage or a drive, and he sits down in the corner. It's like, dude, I just got my butt kicked. But you know what he does when that bell rings? He gets right back up and goes right back at it. That's what you want. And all three of those kids have answered the bell every time.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about this room. And to me, that's exactly why everyone that's a Team Kenny guy or a Team Steve guy or a Team CJ guy has something to hang their hat on today.
Every one
of them.
Absolutely.
Every one of them.
Yep. And there were times where it's like, I don't know about all three of them.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think Steve's about to be done. I literally thought that Steve's about to be done. He's about to fold.
Yep.
Because he sees what these other kids are doing. He's pressing.
Yep.
He's making mistakes. He's about to fold.
I was so happy.
And he comes right back, hits a fourth and sixth pass, and leaves him. You know what I mean? It's like, I love it. I'm not a Steve Angeli guy, but I love that kid. I do, because of that right there. Yep. Is he the guy that I think can lead Notre Dame to a championship? No, I don't. But you know what? If he falls short, he's going to give you everything he has.
Right.
Same thing with Kenny. Same thing with CJ. And that's a good place to be as a coach, man. It is.
Is in great spot.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
You love to see it. You really love to see it. But whoever ends up emerging from that group, you're going to feel pretty good about. I just think they need to make sure that they've given 8 and 12 as many opportunities as they can to be that guy, because it's just so obvious that the physical God-given ability is just different with those two than it is with Steve. That's ultimately the big difference for me.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the completely big agree. Difference for me.
Completely agree. So that's our breakdown of the quarterbacks. Now, we're going to jump into the rest of the offense, but before we do, make sure you hit that like button, the subscribe button, the notification bell, and Brian is going to come back with some video breakdowns, but that's only on the boards. Boards.irishbreakdown.com. Now is the time, folks, to jump in and jump out, because this is where we're going to be breaking stuff down all summer. We're going to be doing – Brian and I have had some good talks about some things we want to do on the boards only. when it comes to some video breakdowns, kind of put some stuff up there, some videos that he and I are going to do together in the summertime and all of that. Now's the time to get on board. Boards.irishbreakdown.com. You will not be upset about that investment. I can promise you that. So get on over there, and then before you do, hit that like button.